Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Hosea, Lessons of Amazing Love. In this session, we'll be looking at Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, through chapter 7, verse 16, God's indictment in love. The prophet Amos traveled from Judah to the northern kingdom of Israel. While he was prophesying there, another prophet appeared on the scene. His name was Hosea, which means salvation. Joshua and Jesus are derived from the same word. These two men spoke to the same audience, but there were some differences in approach. Amos showed very little patience with his relatives in the north. His message and manner were reminiscent of John the Baptist. Hosea, on the other hand, displayed much sympathetic understanding toward his own people, very reminiscent of how Jesus engaged people. Why was Hosea so compassionate with his own people, even as he condemned them for their sins? Well, we don't have much material on Hosea's background, but the little we have, when combined with history of the times, reveals much to us. His father was named Beeri in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, but nothing more is known of his ancestors. His extensive knowledge of the duties and responsibilities of the priesthood suggests that he may have been a priest. We read of his wife Gomer in chapter 1, verse 3, and his children in that first chapter. There was Jezreel, a son, Lo-Ruhamah, a daughter, and Lo-Ami, another son. It's through the prophet's family that the message of Hosea becomes illustrated. There was much activity of prophets during the 8th century B.C. Hosea prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, and Jeroboam II reigned in Israel. This places his work at 750 to 725 B.C., Hosea was probably a young man when Amos was nearly finished with his ministry. While they did their work in Israel, Isaiah and Micah were busy in Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel was on its last legs. Sin was rampant. Religious, moral, and political corruption was out of control. It seems just one word summed up the condition of the nation. Harlotry, or as the King James Version calls it, whoredom. The Holy Spirit used the word 13 times throughout the book of Hosea. In the opening chapters, a picture is drawn of Hosea's experience with Gomer. A picture that describes the Lord's experience with Israel. This story is key to understanding the whole book. We'll look at that account now because it's the backdrop for the rest of the prophecy. But we won't deal with it until later in the Bible study. But let's look at the story of chapters 1 through 3. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, And she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And then God said to him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the sword, by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. And yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said of them, you are sons of the living God. And then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Bring charges against your mother, bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotries from her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and expose her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. I will not have mercy on her children, for they are children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers who gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in, so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but will not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. For she did not know that I gave her grain and new wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold which they prepared for Baal. Therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time and my new wine in its season, and I will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all her appointed feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, of which she has said, these are my wages that my lovers have given me. So I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with earrings of jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, says the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth and make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too I will be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea is one of the most difficult books of the Bible to outline because it doesn't have a definite pattern. For our study, it's like this, our outline. First is God's indictment of Israel for her sins. That's today's session in chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 16. And then there's God's punishment that will come on her. And that's chapter 8 through chapter 10. And then third, there's God's promise of future restoration in chapters 11 through chapter 14. God brought charges against unfaithful Israel, like a spouse against an unfaithful marriage partner. His indictment of Israel has charges, and these are the charges. There are charges against the nation. Hosea chapter 4, the first three verses. 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. There's no knowledge of God, and wickedness is rampant. Verse 1 again in verse 6. No faithfulness and no love. The people don't acknowledge God. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And then drop down to verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Let me ask you, how is your knowledge of God's word? James chapter 1, verse 21 reads, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So there's an indictment against, there's a charge against the nation. There's also a charge against the priests. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit adultery, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills under the poplars, under the oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit adultery, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. The people do not respect their priests, who themselves have rejected knowledge of God, and they feed off the sins of the people. God held this priest responsible for the people's lack of knowledge. There's a word of warning to Judah in the south to not be like Israel. Leave her to her idols. Verse 17 of chapter 4. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Sometimes efforts to restore are futile, and disassociation is necessary. It's sad, but that's the way it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says in verses 11 to 13, "But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside God judges? Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." So against the nation is a charge, against the priest is a charge, and against the people is a charge. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. "Hear this, O priests. Take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. For yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter, though I rebuke them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit adultery, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. They allowed themselves to be led into sin, the priests and the rulers leading the way, tempting Judah in the process. Therefore, God has withdrawn from them, and they are responsible personally before the Lord. They can't blame the priests. The impending sentence in chapter 5, verses 8 to 15, is that Ephraim, Israel, will be destroyed, and Judah won't escape. Like a lion, God will strike them and tear them until they confess their sin and diligently seek them. Pay attention. The first three verses of chapter 6 seem to be an appeal, even repentance. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established in the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. But listen, there it sounds like repentance, but God's not buying it. Israel's true condition is laid out. Chapter 6, verse 4, all the way to chapter 7, verse 16. We're not going to read the whole passage, but just focus in on four key verses. First, chapter 6, verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do with you? O Judah, what shall I do with you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Many people are quick to profess repentance, but don't remain true to the Lord. How faithful to the Lord are we when we consider ourselves? Second, chapter 6, verse 6. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Jesus quoted this passage twice in Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, and in chapter 12, verse 7. It's reflected also in Proverbs 21:3, and Micah taught the principle in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It's not that God didn't call for justice, but all the worship in the world will not cover a lack of mercy and true knowledge of God. Third verse is chapter 7, verse 2. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Wow. They think I forgot. Even now, their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. Idolatry. Alliances with pagan nations. Rejection of God's efforts to discipline them. All these things were the charges that were brought against Israel. And how sad it is that people sin as though God doesn't notice what they're doing. The time is coming when all that has been done will be brought to light. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Revelation 20, verse 12. Our only hope, when that occurs, is to have our sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And then fourth is chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Through bad associations, Israel has been corrupted. That's the danger of having wrong companions and peer pressure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18 gives a clear warning. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. We're told by the Apostle Paul that the words of prophets like Hosea were written down for our admonition. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And like Israel, we've been richly blessed. Like Israel, we're expected to remain faithful. The question is, will we fall for lack of knowledge? Will we fall because our faithfulness is like a morning cloud? Will we fall because we forget mercy in our service to God? Will we fall because we ignore that God sees what we do? Will we fall because we become so mixed in the world? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." You have a great day.